Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Sister Girls podcast. We have been going for a little while, and I'm so happy that we're back. And we're back with a new author. I think this year, I really wanted to get into new authors, new people who are like breaking into the Black literary space. And I'm here with Zakiya Walden. She is a debut author, but she's not new to the Black literary space. So that's what I really want to dig into. And then we'll dig into her new book. Hi, Zakiya.
Hi.
How are you doing today? I know I asked you that off before we got into it, but I still want to know how you're doing right now. This is like one of the first interviews as a new author, one of many, obviously, but I just want to like see how you're doing, checking in.
I'm okay. You know, I feel good. It's been a crazy ride, but I definitely feel good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm interested in learning more about you because, of course, I do my due diligence and started digging. And I was just like, we have more in common than we don't. So from music journalist to beta reader to developmental editor to voice narrator to independent author, that has been like an interesting journey, one that I definitely want to explore. But I just wanted, we got to get into a little bit of all of that because those are real bullet points that it's just like they connected the dots, and I could see it from probably a person who has been in, you know, in those spaces. And I'm just like, dang, she was always probably gonna write her own book. So did you know you were always gonna write a book? And then also, how did you pivot? So let's start with the whole, like, you are a music journalist. How did you get into that? And then how did you end up becoming a beta writer? Because that was like the next big thing.
Yes. So unfortunately, journalism and music did not work out the way that I wanted it to. And it was because I am such a, I guess it's not because, you know, to the older generation, the generation above mine, or even, you know, above that one, they wouldn't consider what I like old school. But it shifted right when it was time, right when I got my internship. Right, you know, senior year of college. And I'm like, I don't, this is not the music I want to write about. Like, there was an extreme shift in the music. And I was like, this is not it. I mean, I went through with the internship, of course, because that was still like, you know, a cool time. But I was like, nah, this is not, like, my favorite rapper, I'm really gonna date myself, is Jay-Z.
My favorite rapper is Jay-Z too, so you ain't dating yourself because that means you dating me.
I'm sorry. And no, you know, I don't want to say no offense because you shouldn't be offended, because that's you know what I'm saying, obviously he the king. But you know, like, that's the kind of, like, I'm looking for something as far as hip hop. That's what I was looking for. Rap that means something. So when it was a shift in that, I just, you know, I was like, this is not what I want to write about. And I don't know how I'm gonna get on, you know, trying to be my authentic self. So after the internship, I kind of just was like, I guess mildly depressed. I'm like, what am I gonna do with this career? Like, I already got the degree. I don't know what to do with it. And then I started working with Love Belvin on her debut. Mm-hmm. So that was the shift, is that I'm like, this is not, you know, as I was getting into the industry, I'm like, this is not what I wanted to do. So I just decided to put it down. And she stepped in at the nick of time. I was like, oh, well, you know, I know you have your degree. I'm about to release this. I want you to read my book. Mm-hmm. So that, and I really found a love for it. I was like, you know, it's still writing, it's still editing, it's still, you know, in the writing world. Mm-hmm. It might not be what you thought you were going to do, but, you know, I had a ball, you know what I'm saying, with that mm-hmm. first book, with the Lip series. Love Lost was the first book. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm going to just ride on this and see how this does. Mm-hmm. But then, like, you know, I was like, you know, as cool as this is, I don't know, you know, like, because being I didn't start with it in school, I was like, I don't know how to really maneuver and try to build my clientele. So I'm just going to go for the office gig. And I was completely fine there like that for a very long time.
But your office gig wasn't creative.
Nope, it was in a pharmaceutical company. I was working for Big Pharma.
All right, so this is the question, because I read, I'm a girl who's into journalism, so I have, that's what I said, our backgrounds are similar more than not, and I did do the pivot too, because I remember, and I feel like the age that you're talking about is a digital age. We went very digital very quickly, yes. And it became much less about the music as the art form of like dissecting lyrics. At one point, when you read an article, you would read articles about the lyrics, like people had full-blown, right now they call them think pieces, but they were actually like real articles about the music. They would talk about an album, they would break it down in ways that we would actually read it and take that time. And then it went to very like this moment of like, let's not talk about the artist and the music, but let's talk about their personal lives and like where they're going, where they're at. Social media kind of like really transformed how quickly we were able to keep up with recording artists, right? And like celebrities, period, but specifically for like hip-hop and R&B and like the genres that, you know, you were interested in writing about. The stories, I'm very sure that you were now supposed to cover, were not going to be about like, oh, let's break down Jay-Z's 444. It's going to be like, okay, we saw Jay-Z and Beyonce here. Like, I want you to do like the top 10 spaces and places that Beyonce and Jay-Z was on summer vacation. And you're like,
exactly. That's exactly what happened. And I was like,
wait, what? You want me to
do what I want to do? Like, this is not what I want to do. Like, I mean, it's old news now. And I believe I do have a thing that I wrote on myself, and I believe that it's out there. I don't remember that I wrote it a while ago, and it was like a while long. So, but I do think that I put it in there that like I had, I guess you could say, an interview or something like that, or like a test to do something on Wiz Khalifa's Mommy and Snoop Dogg, and I wrote it the way that I wanted to write it. And they, you know, they came back. They was like, well, you know, it's a little bit, you know, it gets a little spicy in the beginning for that second. Why don't you focus on that point when Snoop met his mom? It was a millisecond of, I don't even want to call it flirtation. I don't know. Like, it was maybe like, salacious adoration. Like, you know what I'm saying? But it was a millisecond. And it was like to focus on that. I'm like, but that's not what happened. Like, you know what I mean? And I rewrote it and they loved it. And I was like, you know what? But I'm not gonna do this.
Yeah, you're not happy because that's not the that's not why you wanted, like that wasn't the passion. So I recognized that. As soon as you said there was a shift, I'm like, I was a part of the shift, girl. I was like, for a little while. And I said, girl, no, I don't want to shift this way. So I started doing more lifestyle and more, you know. It was just different, but it was just very, it was a heartbreaking moment. It wasn't even like depression for me. I was very heartbroken because I just knew I was going to be like brown sugar. And then like, I'm yes. like that was my life. So I wanted to know, cause I feel like a lot of people go through this, especially when they're in storytelling and writing and digital storytelling, they want to be authors. And you know, the idea is that you love storytelling in any format, but you also got to pay the bills. So when you said you got a job, a 9-to-5 at a pharmaceutical company, that's kind of like the dream for people's parents. And it's
also got my mother.
Yeah, so like if the dream is like, you're finally like, she got it together, y'all. We was bugged out for, we was little. She got it, y'all. She got it. She's safe. So because, you know, our parents want us to have stability. And a lot of times art, it doesn't feel stable, right? Because it's like a 9-to-5, we know she's going to be, her health is going to be taken care of. She's going to have income and all the other stuff. But even if you're happy and even if you're getting money, like a nice paycheck from it, it's always that pull that, this is something more out there. So after pivoting and you did take that, your job and you have this ability and you said you even enjoyed it, how do you know when to say, you know what, maybe I need to tap back into my artistic side and tap back into the things that make me happy, when you are in a position where you're like, I'm okay, but I feel okay, like the bills are paid, I can go out when I want to go out, I can take trips, I can, you know, people around me are happy. My life kind of looks comparable to my friends who are like getting married and they have jobs and moving up. We seem leveled out now, but there's also that thing that's just like, I don't know. Like, you know what I mean? What about this? So how did you kind of listen to that voice? Or, well, you obviously, but like, how did you make those moves to decipher?
Well, there were a few points of transition. The first one, I was content with just editing for Love Only. And then I don't remember how I met her, but I got cool with one of the producers for the Wendy Williams show, and Wendy was taking her. Everything, you know, came down and all of her drama, but she was looking for writers for her digital app. And one of the producers sought me out because they remember that I must've met her. I don't know, it's not important how I met her, but I met her and she sought me out because she knew that I, you know, wrote on the side. Mm-hmm. And while I was skeptical about it from the get-go because of, you know, of course, I'm Jersey born and raised, so love Wendy. Mm-hmm. We all know Wendy Williams' reputation, what she's known for, mm-hmm. and the kind of content that she produces. I was like, that's still kind of going like in a direction that I don't really want to go. But I was like, but you know what? You know, I'm only getting a little bit of a fix from editing. You know, maybe just do it for a little while. So that was another transition to shift back into writing a little bit. And that was cool for a while. The extra money was really cool for a while. But then, you know, there was a switch in whatever was going on with her businesses and her companies and stuff like that. So they started editing my stuff different to the point where I wasn't even seeing my writing. And I was like, this is not it again. You know what I'm saying? Like, and an editor myself, I'm like, we don't have to write it like this. Mm-hmm. So it was excitement for a second and then downhill again with people having influence over what I was doing creatively. So mm-hmm. yeah, so that was another pivot.
So how did you jump back into, because now you're an editor, right? You're editing.
Yeah, I never stopped.
You never stopped editing. So mm-hmm. how did you go into say, you know what, instead of editing, now I want to use my voice as a voice narrator? Because that's where I became familiar with you at, because I was like, he has a really good voice. Mm-hmm.
Still working with Love all these years. Mm-hmm. I had started listening to some of Waeeda Clark's books on audio. Mm-hmm. I had the Audible app. I don't remember how I got it because this is so many years ago. But I just clicked on it and I was listening to, I don't remember which book it was, but one of her first books. And I was like, oh, this is dope. And I was thinking to myself, as animated as I am and as creative as I like to think that I am, I was like, I could totally do this. And I came to Love with the idea. And I was like, you know, are you going to be transitioning or putting some stuff into audiobooks? And she was like, that is so crazy because, you know, I was just talking to her business partner about that. That's what she said. She said she was just talking to her business partner about it. And I honestly didn't think that she was going to take me serious, but she did. And when she did, it scared me. And I was like, oh boy, I got to really practice and figure out how to get going with this. But it really just came from listening to one of my faves on audiobook and trying to see if I could do it. And then when I got into it, I didn't realize the effort that it took, like the research. Like, I, you know, you always think that when you see somebody else do something that you can just do it, mm-hmm. but then get into the process. And I was like, but you know what? I still think that I can have fun doing it. So I'm gonna, you know, put my time and energy into this. Mm-hmm. So I just decided to go for it. I hired a coach. I got some equipment that was the wrong equipment. So I had to go back and get more equipment, which of course happens, you know what I mean? And that's pretty much what it was. Like, I just, you know, I enjoy editing and I was like, I bet I could have even more fun mm-hmm. Acting it out the way that I be acting it out when I'm editing. Mm-hmm. So it really just came from an idea of me being my silly self.
So when you say you had to get a coach, because I think that is one thing that I think many people, like you said, when you see someone else doing something or you hear someone else doing something, you're like, I could totally do that. It is not that deep. Like, mm-hmm. my voice is cool. I mean, hello, I'm mm-hmm. animated. I could put on an accent. I could, like, you know, get a husky voice like a guy. So when you took the step to actually get a coach, that's you putting money out there. So unless something else happened, did you in the beginning feel like, dang, this is going to be like, you know, something? Or were you always just fully in? And like you said, even buying the wrong equipment, those are things that can be very, very frustrating.
Oh, yeah. And I'm easily frustrated. I'm easily yeah. frustrated and easily flustered. And I really, as an old woman, not an old woman, but as an adult, I need to work on it, but I don't. Like, well, no, I do. I did get flustered with, especially with, you know, my coach. She was like, you know, you do have a great voice. And you know what else brought it back to that? I completely skipped this. When I had one of a job that I had way before, worked at a pharmaceutical company. I worked for a non-profit organization that helped people with special needs. And a gentleman did do voiceover, and he was telling me that he thought that I had a great voice and I should get into it. And also when I was listening to the Wyda Clark book, I thought back to him saying that. I forgot about that part, that like kind of like also helped with planting the seed. But my coach thought that she's like, you have a great voice, but you don't know what you're doing. You need a lot of practice. So I didn't really get flustered with that part of it. Where I got flustered is the technical part. Because I these young kids, like you said earlier, we came at the when technology made that transition, and my age reflects that. It was a struggle with the first book I ever did, getting it uploaded and everything on ACX to go to Audible and everything like that. That's where my frustration came in. I had fun with practicing and stuff like that, and being praised by my coach, even when she was ripping me apart about my Jersey accent. She lives in LA, but she's actually from Jersey as well. And I had no idea how Jersey I sounded until I spoke with her. I'm like, for real? She's like, yes, you do. You have a Jersey urban accent. I'm like, for real? I didn't even know that.
And he said, "Well, something urban." I would just give him a side eye, like urban.
I get it.
But so to your point, like, you know, you kept it going. But that was the thing that I wanted to know about. How did you know when it was time to actually invest into it? Because you know, you hear people with like, okay, I bought the mic, so now I can do a podcast. But nobody ever thought about like, maybe I need to like get my interviewing skills up, or maybe
that's I believe that anybody can do anything they want to do. I just don't like, even if it's to somebody else's standard, that what I put out they don't like or whatever, that's fine. I try to just put out my best. I've just always been like that. That's just something, I don't know if it comes from my parents and my family, but I just think that, yes, you can do it, but you got to do the research. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't know where that comes from for me. I've just always been like that. Like, I don't want to do it unless I'm going to do it right. So even when I saw what it consists of to do it, I just decided to go ahead and, you know, I had my 9-to-5. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like to spend money. So why not just spend money on, instead of frivolous things, something that could potentially be a real investment for, you know, a part of my career. So that just comes naturally. I just think, for me, that's just my work ethic. You need to just do the research and put the investing into yourself and into whatever you decide to do.
Yeah. So what's one thing about being a voice narrator that people don't generally talk about? That we wouldn't know.
I think that a lot of people do think that it's easier than what it is. Mm-hmm. And this is when I spoke to my coach, it was the first time I heard words like sounding conversational, making it so that you're not, so that it doesn't sound like you're reading and that you're actually telling a story. It is not easy to do. People think that if you can read words, you could just get it off the paper and that you just do that. But you have to figure out how to make it sound like I'm talking to somebody. And that's just, to me, that's not an easy feat. Especially because I thought that I did that anyway, but you don't. Like, you could think that you do. So, and maybe I think that there are people out there that have a natural niche for it. This is something that did not come naturally to me. I always raise my hand to read an English class, but it is not the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, that, and I think that people probably do have an idea of, especially for me, even though I thought that I've always had a deep masculine voice, I learned when I jumped into voiceover that I do not. So I thought that the male voices were going to be easy for me to pull off, and they are so hard. They are so hard. It's like, you do not sound like a dude. And I'm like, but I'm trying. I thought I did. No, you don't. Like,
that is funny.
Yeah, that's pretty much it for me. It's like that and the technical part, the repeating and cleaning, like getting in there. And once you get enough money, it's good to get somebody to do it for you, because it that takes more time than actually recording, because you could say something 10 times because you want it to sound right, but then going back and fixing that and finding, you know, the one of the 10 that sounds good is very difficult.
Yeah. Power to you, because that sounds very, very, very tedious. It's like editing video. Like I edit video content, and that's one of the things that I really like, shooting it, even planning it. Oh my God, the joy. But then coming to edit, I'm like, okay, who can we hire? Because no, I don't want to do this like at all.
I get it.
So, all right, now we're at voice narration. So you're still editing, you're still your voice narrator. What in your mind says, you know what? As the voice narrator, you know what else we need to do? We need to write a book. You know what I mean? How do you get there, right? Because we have, like, I mean, clearly from my end of the, like, the end of this, the desk, I could see where it would naturally make sense. It's literally like a nice timeline, but you don't know the timeline when you're in it. Hindsight is always 2020, and you'll be like, oh, I've always been at this going to this spot, or I've even been pivoted into going to this spot. How did you know when it was time to write a book?
I didn't. I actually, it's crazy. I started writing Blue Obstacles when Love came to me about editing. I was also going through a heartbreak. And I was like, let me try to just get my feelings out. And I had no intention. I don't believe, because it was so many years ago, I don't believe that I had real intention on putting that out there. I just wanted to get over this dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, I'm trying everything. I'm talking to my girls. I was going on a date with people I don't like. You know what I mean? I'm like, I got to get this dude out of my system. And did somebody tell me? I don't think anybody told me. It was like, why don't you write about it? I did have an aunt that told me to write text messages to him, but don't send them.
Yeah.
that did not work for me. Yeah, I know it worked for some people. Right?
Send them.
More power to you. I want you to hear me cursing you out.
Yes, I do.
That didn't really work for me. So I just decided to, and I got as far as chapter 4, and then I called myself going through writer's block. And it's crazy, when I revisited it, I had to completely revamp it, because I was like, oh my God, you're a terrible writer, when I went back to go do it. But I don't know, you know what, I think of that, it just, I was editing more. I started at like the top of the year, and you know what else, I did, one of my good friends was like, because, you know, a couple of people in my circle obviously knew that I had started something years ago. But when are you going to write your book, though? I got that from one of my good friends. And then it happened like two more times from loved ones. And I was like, maybe it's time. You know what I'm saying? It's like nobody had asked about it in years. I did think about Blue Obstacles the top of every single year, and never did anything with it. But this year was the first year that like three people came to me, and it, one of my, the friend that sticks out the most, me and her had a falling out throughout the years, and the fact that she randomly hit me up and was like, hey, when are you gonna finish your book? And I was like, that's random, I haven't talked to you in months, and you want to ask about that? So I just took it as a sign to just go for it. And like I said, it was terrible. I had to completely revamp it. And it just came out. It took me 3 months. It came out so
quickly.
Like it just would come, when I would sit down and write, it would just come out.
So you're at your desk and now you're writing a book. It's very different style from story, like very different storytelling style versus doing like an interview or covering an event or even editing or even doing like a voice narration. So what was the process like? Even though you said you wrote it fairly quickly, did those other talents that you had as an editor, as doing voice, did that come into play to help you write it better?
I think so. And I think that's the reason why, I'm not trying to get all ridiculously deep and spiritual, but I think that's the reason why God probably put a hold on it, because maybe I wasn't ready to write, you know, when I thought I was the first time years and years ago. But yeah, and I think that especially being an editor helped tremendously. I consider myself a word snob. And I didn't get this way until I started editing. So I don't think that I would have been able to do it years and years ago. But yes, to answer your question, it played a pivotal role of being able to tell the story. Can I ask you something?
No, no, I'm sorry. Yes, you can ask me.
Have you read it?
I started it. I did start it. I didn't read the whole thing. I did start it because I said I'm not going to interview without reading some of the book.
Okay.
So I'm at the, I want to say the 30 mark, 30% mark. I read it fairly.
Okay.
I'm not like, I can't give you my thoughts on it now, but I will.
I'm scared. But
I said you want my, I won't just put it out there, but I'm like, I had to read some of it just to even know what your writing style was like. You know what I mean? Because I read
I think that's more what I'm going with it. Like
your writing style was important to me because I was interested in the tone, how you move the story along, the plot, like all those things are even down to what people wear and what they address and what they don't address to tell me about their lifestyle, what matters to them in the character's voice, what they notice first about the person that is a love interest, what they don't notice first, what is very like those inside thoughts.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm asking, because I was wondering, I feel like it was an interesting question. Yeah. If you could tell that.
Because it does flow. It, when I read it, sorry about the alarm, but when I read it, I was like, this is a little bit, I've read debut authors before, independent authors, and it reads, because I don't want to give you my thought, and I'm like, it's not the end of the book yet, but it reads very, very well. And that's why I was just like, even if I didn't like the story, the writing was really good. It's very attractive to me, and it's very elegant. And I always look for that. And people be like, oh, the person is a bad storyteller. I'm like, no, they're not a bad storyteller. The story is very good, but it's something about the writing that is not able. I always say it's like, if it's like butter, like, does it slip like butter? And to me, I'm always looking for that butter writing mixed with great storytelling. And I think sometimes you can have a great story, but the writing may need to get better, or the opposite can happen. I've read really good writers write because they know the right words, but the story is not holding my attention. So when you can pair those two up, it's like, whoa. As you know, I get like, that's how you become one of my favorite authors personally. And when
I agree.
Yeah. So when I was reading your story, I was like, she's a debut. Like, this is her first time writing.
That's what I want to say that though. Like, and I don't want to call it cheating because I don't think that it's cheating. I just think that, God knows I'm sensitive. So if you try to put this book out when you cannot write, because 10 years ago, well, I think I have a natural niche, you know what I mean? I've been told it literally my entire life. But if I would have done it years ago without having the ability to tell a story, I wouldn't have been able to handle it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Whatever the outcome would
be. I tell you from now, that was one of the next things that made me actually like reach out to you. Cause I was like, this is very interesting. I had known you as a voice narrator first, because your voice stood out to me. Cause you sound feminine. You sound Black too. It's a lot of things that played into that of like taking notice to your voice. But then when you said you were going to write, I was like, that was, it was on my radar. And then I remember I was like, well, let me just read some of it. Let's see how the writing is before we can jump to say, let's support this Black lady. Because that's how I am. I'm like a new Black lady on the block. Let's support her. Like, anyway, I'll try to figure out how we can align ourselves to kind of like promote that. And I was just like, And this was the first time I've ever interviewed. This is crazy. So put this on there too. First time I've ever interviewed somebody without completing their whole book, because I like the writing a lot. And I was like,
thank you. To
grab you up. You know what I mean? Because I really see that you won't be here for a while. Not a
I don't want to say I cheated because I was an editor first. I didn't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was even
told. But a lot of editors become writers. Like, a lot of editors, even.
And I hope so.
Yeah,
and
a lot of editors become writers. I mean, Toni Morrison, right? She was an editor. Yes. She became writer. Yes. I mean, I think.
And I don't want like other, new writers to feel like. Like, again, like I cheated. I didn't know, you know what I mean? Like, because Blue Obstacle, we had a whole thing. She was, I got up to chapter 4, like I said, years ago. This girl was a blubbering, crying mess because I was a blubbering, crying mess. Mm-hmm. And I was like, when I dived back into it, I was like, this is not, we don't do this. This is not who we are. Sis, you need to, nah. So, I would never want to stress that. Of course, emotions and crying and things like that are a part of life. But what my goal is with writing is to help push young ladies or whoever, you know what I'm saying, along. And for me to have gotten to chapter 4 and Blue was still crying over this dude, I'm like, little girl, get your life. Like, you know what I mean?
So for the people who don't know about Blue's Obstacles, tell us about what the story is about.
Okay, so it pretty much is just the story of first. Of course, my mom, she was, is it about you? I'm like, no, lady. There are things, of course, you know what I'm saying? Because I feel like life inspires art, obviously. But I think that Blue is who I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. At that age, and even as she becomes a young adult, because I wanted to move along into her being older. I don't know if I'll ever start off, because I started off young, started the characters off young, and I don't know if I'll ever be that young again for that long. Mm-hmm. I'm not 100% sure, you know. I don't know what the future holds or what my creative bones will do, but what it primarily is about is the story of first, of just like her life goals, what she wants to pursue, her life journey, and how she manages to maneuver in between that. And I also wanted to give insight to not just her, but her girls, Dominique and Stacey, as well, because I just feel like one thing that I think that we need to persevere is playbooks, and not just mine. There are a lot of authors that do it, and I think that, you know, why not contribute to what I to the things that I think are important, you know what I'm saying, that I don't hear people talking about as much as they should. Shine a light on that. But that's pretty much what it is. It's a story of first. We just take her through, you know, adolescence, and I plan to go, I don't want to say I plan to go because I don't really know, but definitely into college, and then we shall see.
So when thinking about writing, especially about writing about Black girl, did you think about certain things that you wanted to have, certain themes that you really wanted to insert there, even though you said it wasn't about your life per se? You know, life imitates art, and we know about like how Black girls are viewed, even if like when it comes to having her love interest and how, you know, he might view her, you know, those things. Did you?
Absolutely. Like I said, I wanted her. I was not confident in high school, and I wanted to write about a confident girl, because if there's any, now of course there's some scenes in this, so hopefully nobody under the age of 16, 17 is reading it, but I wanted to show confidence from the jump, because we don't have a lot of that as young Black girls. I feel like we gotta grow into it. Mm-hmm. Even if you do come from like what's considered the perfect nuclear family with mom and dad and, you know, 2.5 kids and, you know, upper working class. A lot of us, because of just the way that the world works and society is, it does not allow us to have that confidence. So I wanted to write about young ladies who just got it from the jump and, you know, is God-given, and that's it. And of course, it wouldn't be good if it didn't waver every now and again, but how do we get up out of that? And what do we do to get up out of that? So yes, that was definitely very important for me to put confidence in there from the jump, so that if there are some late teens, early 20s that are reading it that don't have that, could see that we can have that too.
Okay, I like that. So what are some themes that readers can expect? And also, what was the best part of writing for you about whatever themes these are? I noticed some of the themes, but in your point of view, like what was some things that as soon as you wrote about it, like this was the thing that is probably going to jump out to a lot of readers outside of like, she's young in the beginning?
I hope, especially with dealing with like my age realm and like older and even like a little bit, you know, younger, the nostalgia. I want to bring you back. Do you remember your first crush? Do you remember your first kiss? Like, that is things that I definitely hope jump out. That, the nostalgia, and then the comedic aspect, because I do have some darker moments in it. So definitely the funny parts, I definitely want people to laugh. That's pretty much what it did. Like, you know, I would sit down to type, and sometimes, you know, you just letting it flow out. You're not, I don't know, this is going to sound crazy, maybe, I don't want to say like an outer body experience, but like you go back and you read it. And I would have the moment I go back and every night I was like, oh my God, did I write that? Are you leaving it? Yeah, let's leave it. Like, you know what I mean? I think the character Dominique, which is my main character, is one of her best friends. I let her do the most crazy, because I feel like you needed that voice of someone just running a complete mess. It was very entertaining. You know what I mean?
And that's always interesting. I'll read a book and I can tell. I give myself that credit. When the person doesn't want to put these qualities on the main character, so the best friend or the auntie or the cousin, it'd be like, dang, this person is off the hook. But it adds to the story, because it wouldn't be proper, well, in my opinion, it wouldn't be the characteristics that the main character would have. But you want them to have somebody that's out there, but they compliment them in a way. So the main character might be reserved, but they'll have a best friend who's out of this world. And I always think that's really, really good. So like having that in there, in my opinion, it always works, because it makes for a more realistic quality of reading experience. So because like in real life, we always have that best friend. It's like, well, you like, I'm not gonna do it. I'm gonna when they go low, I go high. And then it's the best friend is like, well, when you go low, I'm going to hell. Like,
that's exactly what I was doing. So I let her do whatever she wants.
And they say the most crazy things. So I'm like, that is so, like when I was, you know, reading, I'm just like, yo, that is funny. So I'm happy you admitted that, because I was just about to say, what characters did you have the most fun writing, and what characters, not that you had the least fun writing, but that was like more like, okay, I gotta write about this character, I gotta kind of like get focused and kind of like, you know, make sure certain things go into order, more like a ritual of writing per se, versus like, oh, let's throw out some jokes and stuff like that, because this is a more like complex character.
Honestly, I don't know if the word would be like you just said, like if I didn't have a hard time, but I really had to get my Nino Brown on with Rick. Because that's just not like, you know what I'm saying? Like, child, like I'm originally from Paterson, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And
for the people who don't know. I always come down hard on people from Jersey, because they'll be like, people from New York, and I'm like, for people who don't know, people think that Jersey is just this nice suburb.
Well, like, that's what I'm getting at. Like, I'm from Paterson, but you know, I got the family members, the male family members, and I pretty you know, my great home, great parents. That my mom just definitely tried to keep me sheltered. You know what I'm saying? And I think that she pretty much did until I decided to leave and go to school. But like, although I love movies and television, Nino Brown ain't really a part of my life. You know what I'm saying? Or like, you know, whoever that's, you know, and I don't even know if some of the younger people don't even know who Nino Brown is. But I had to really like dig into that bag. So that was like, I guess difficult, but a challenge in a good way, because it was fun. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just going off. I equate that to like, even with doing voiceover for some of like those male hardcore characters. Mm-hmm. I like one of the, for Love's book, I think his name was Mike Brown, for Love and Rhythm and Blues. Mm-hmm. I could not stand, when I was editing, book for her, I couldn't stand him. Like, I would actually, when I would get to a part with him, that's when I would take my break. Like, I could, but when it came to doing the voiceover,
yeah, it's like, girl, I get to turn into somebody, okay?
I had a ball. And it was the same with writing Rick, like, you know what I mean? Could not stand him. And that makes me, yo, what is going on in my head? If that, like, why is that fun for me? But whatever. Conversation. So yeah, it would be him, and then yeah, and I definitely did enjoy Blue, especially with her first lustful experiences. Mm-hmm. Because they were like, you know, like I could be very, I guess, just youthful and young at heart, like the you know, giggly or whatever. So those were always fun. But yeah, her and Dominique were the faves.
So what do you want, this is my last question, what do you hope that readers take away from the story overall?
that you can get through it, whatever it is, child.
I like that. So after we always do this where we tell you, we ask you a question, you got to answer really, really, really quickly. So there's no like thinking about it. All right. So it's just simple. Okay. Favorite time of day to write?
Morning.
Favorite coffee or tea?
Both.
Malcolm X or Martin Luther King?
Malcolm.
Living single or Martin?
Living single.
Shein or anybody else making clothing?
She is cool.
Okay. Audio books or like paperback, like books that you have to read?
Oh my god, paperbacks.
Okay, yeah. Okay, that's interesting.
I know, that's so weird.
poetry or short stories?
Short stories.
Is it Uchi Wally or is it One Mic?
One Mic.
Okay, and last question. Who is Zakiya Walden?
A storyteller.
Oh, that was good. That's it. That's the interview. So let people know where they can find you, what services you now offer, because you're now an author. You do voice narration. I'm not sure you're still editing, but whatever services you offer, tell people where they can get your book. Because it's out now, y'all. It's out now. Okay. So let people know.
So my IG is Zakiya's _ voice. That's ZAKIYAS_VOICE. My website is zakiyasvoice.com, and the book is available on Amazon. I am an editor, as well as a voiceover artist, and now author. So yep, that's pretty much it. So the services are your editorial and voiceover.
All right, and that's it. So, and congratulations. I want to congratulate you on your debut as an author. I think that's so dope. And so that's it. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
You had a lot going on. As soon as I read the resume, I was like, okay, excuse me, when are we going to do this interview? So thank you so much.
No problem.